Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of Wise Words with Dan. Today I bring George and Chester back onto my podcast as we talk about all things football related. Yes, I bring the segment back of talking about everything football related. So we cover Champions League, we cover EPL, we cover A-League, we cover international football. So we cover everything today. It's a bit of a long podcast today, guys, but if you're a huge football fan, like myself, you'll enjoy this podcast. It's lighthearted. It's a bit of banter. It's a bit of everything. So sit back and enjoy. How are you?
I'm good. You?
Yeah, not too bad. It's been a while since you've been back on my podcast.
Maybe I thought it was like, let's just let United's abysmal end to the season play out longer and longer so we have more and more to talk about, right?
Well, that's it, yeah. God, man, yeah, nearly towards the end of the season now. Just what a disappointment Man United have been. There's no way to sugarcoat it, really, is there?
Anyone who's even trying to remotely sugarcoat it is like no performance. I'm going to say, at least for certainty, since the hold on one sec, George is messaging me.
Hold on. All good. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's been a tough season to watch. Yeah, let's be honest. You know, I think Chester, you and I can both agree that at the start of this season, you know, it's, you know, there's been a lot of hope for United.
I mean, but I guess there was, because we, you know, signed players like Varane, Ronaldo, you know, we signed like more players, like, we signed players like, oh, George is here. Hey.
Hello.
George, how are you?
Good.
Didn't think you'd be coming on. Thanks for coming.
Oh, well, I thought, look, it's my last day of isolation, so I thought at least I could just speak to real people, real humans.
Yeah, well, that's true. How's COVID treated you? Has it affected you badly?
First day was like okay-ish. Day two and day three were like my two worst days. I was literally sleeping for most of the day.
Just fatigued.
Yeah, just felt like someone just like run me over with a bus or a truck or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's good too, but you're feeling good now, aren't you?
Oh, I'm like probably 85% better.
Yeah.
Still got a bit of a block nose. But apart from that, I'm sort of back to normal.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. You sound pretty good.
thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, George, Chester, thanks for coming on. You know, George, me and Chester were just talking a little bit about the you know, shit season that Manchester United have had.
That there's absolutely no way to sugarcoat it whatsoever.
I wanted to sugarcoat it, but I couldn't. It's just, you can't really.
There was nothing to sugarcoat about it. If Ronaldo didn't get in your team like the start of the season, you guys would be like in 14th. Based off goals.
Like anywhere between.
You wouldn't be battling relegation with Crystal Palace.
I wouldn't say battling relegation, but like, would not be true. In good shape, right?
Yeah, true. Ronaldo has literally carried us. He's literally carried
us. De Gea, I would say.
And De Gea, too.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. You know, like, at the start of the season, before the season started, we got Ronaldo, and we're looking at our team on paper, and we're thinking, shit, this is a real top four side.
Yeah,
I wasn't looking at it in the sense that we were going to go challenge for a title, though, to be honest. I was looking at it definitely and being like, oh, we're still going to make the top four. I wasn't going as far as title challenge for that team, but like, definitely not like expecting us to fall off the way we did, especially when the international break has ended. It's like since we've returned from the international break, like, it's like the team have just gone on their holidays. Like, we've won one game since the international break ended, and that was against Norwich, and it was at home, and we only won it because Ronaldo scored a hat-trick. Fucking Norwich. They've just been relegated for a record sixth time from the Premier League. Like,
Oh, she'll be loving that. It's fine. It's Norwich.
Like, we sleepily got a draw against Leicester. We lost away to Everton. That was just awful.
Who, mind you, could get relegated as quickly as maybe like a week or two.
Depends. I really hope you can beat them later tonight.
Oh, if we beat them and we beat them like, you know, 3-0 at Goodison Park, then you, like, already Wigan's already talking about going a trip to Edmonton already. Because Wigan got promoted from League One.
MK Dons, if they go through the playoffs, could find themselves fighting Everton twice next season.
Oh, that's hilarious. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, that would be
something. That.
That'd be something. That'd be something.
But as I was
And you know what? I was gonna talk a bit about Arsenal because they've had a pretty surprising season. You know, let's just say that they've, for what was expected of Arsenal, I think they've really achieved this season in terms of this. Well, compare their season from last season to now.
That's because they got rid of Aubameyang, and Aubameyang shit.
And they have no European football.
Exactly. They didn't have to compete with European football.
Like, remember the season when Chelsea won it last under Conte? They had no European football that season, and they won the league comfortably because their squad depth need to be tested. Like, same to Arsenal. I'm not discrediting what Arteta's done. Obviously, it's not settled yet. They might not get it, but it looks odds on that they will. But, like, I don't think it's enough to warrant him winning.
I still don't think he's the right manager for Arsenal.
I'm not sure about that. It's just if people are talking about who's going to win manager of the season, I want to say straight up, Klopp and Pep do not deserve to win it. I'm not being controversial, but you can't be awarding.
So you, all right, if it's not them two, it has to be then old mate from West Ham.
No, fuck, because they tailed off at the end.
Eddie Howe 100%
deserves manager of the season.
All right, if they make the final of the Europa League and they could win it,
never know.
I think Eddie Howe, purely because, like, Newcastle, obviously, as we know, started the season. I know it's difficult to, like, put a claim forward for making a manager who's only been at the club, not for the entirety of the season, manager of the season, but I'm looking at the rest of the managers in the league. Yes, obviously, Pep, Klopp are going to be right. The two teams who are...
What about Patrick Vieira?
But, well, I'll get to that. But for Pep and Klopp, for them, purely because one of them will win the league, I don't think it's saying much. They haven't exactly done better than they've done before.
So they haven't really been tested.
Exactly. So you, apart from each other. So I don't think it's fair to just give them the manager of the season just because one of them will win
or
whatever. Obviously, Tuchel would be silly because I think Chelsea generally have just been sleepwalking their way to a third place finish because they've had no competition for the most part of the season for what's behind them and they've not been close enough at all to what's ahead of them. So, like, Chelsea have just kind of been sleepwalking their way to a real piss-easy finish in the top four. Like, you might still finish fourth, but even so, you're not dropping out of the top four. Like...
You know what's crazy?
For Arsenal, no European football, even if they make the top four, that has to be taken into consideration. Yes, it's good that they got back into the top four for their sake, but is it enough to warrant him manager of the season? The reason I think Eddie Howe is... When he took over Newcastle, they're in a right state and up, and I mean, even it took him a little bit to get going. And after 21 games this season, Newcastle won 2 games. In the 13 games they've played since, well, 14 now, in the 14 games they've played since, they've won 9. He's taken Newcastle from a relegation battle to a comfortable. Like, I think that deserves recognition.
Yeah, and look what he did with Bournemouth as well.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I'm talking manager of the season, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, look what he did with Bournemouth. Bournemouth probably had able to tighter budget and was still able to keep him in the Premier League, like, for what, 2-3 seasons?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
But purely based on his season, for the improvement he's made with that Newcastle team, obviously, because they got new ownership and they got money. As in mind, one of their biggest signings, Kieran Trippier, played what, 3-4 games, got injured and has been out for the rest of the season, and they've just been as good without him. He's made Joel Linton into a fucking £40 million signing. That deserves its own recognition right there. Like, I'm not even joking. Joel Linton is one of the best players in the league right now.
No, but that's just him being very smart with his tactics and how he's positioned certain players in their spots and the style of football he wants them to play. So it's what happens when you got money behind you as well.
So, yeah, you heard it here first, people listening to this podcast, the five of you who do listen, probably. Eddie Howe for manager of the season. That's my view on it. What about you two? If you had to pick one now, right now, to win manager of the season, who would it be?
Look, it's a hard one between Pep and Klopp.
Other than them two, who would you pick?
Yeah, because like,
either of us is going to win.
I don't know. It's tough for me. To be honest, in my opinion, you know, those are the only two managers I see that I'm going to. George, who do you think?
For me, Patrick Vieira.
Come on, closeted Palace fan.
Nah, but you think about it, right? At the start of the season when Patrick Vieira took over, people were like, oh, they're going to get relegated. They're going to miss out on that.
I never thought they were going to get relegated. I thought they were going to be better because he's a more attack-minded manager than Hodgson.
Yeah, but in saying that too, like, look at the midfield. Like, the midfield's, like, improved so much.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's better than your fucking midfield.
Like, even Benteke, like, come on, what the hell?
I'm under no illusions that Palace's centre midfield is better than United's currently.
Like, I don't know.
Starting 11. Like,
yeah, but also, I mean, if it's not going to be like, obviously like Patrick Vieira as well, but I also think, Moyes from West Ham. I mean, look what he's been able to do as well this year.
But I would have given it him last season. This season, yeah, they started well, but they've kind of dropped off at the back end. I know they're more, it's clear they're focusing on Europe, but then you still have to take that into consideration. Like,
yeah, but they'll still be Europe next year regardless.
I'd make him a nominee, but I don't think he's...
Well, okay, so if West Ham... All right, so hypothetically, West Ham win their second leg, win the final... You know, make Champions League. What is like first time West Ham has ever made Champions League football?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm not sure how they. If it's just Premier League manager of the season and obviously European competitions.
Oh well, if it's just Premier League, then yeah, it's obviously different. But in terms of a world stage, I think you can't go. I think it'll have to be.
Yeah, exactly. If they go win the Europa League, then it would. If we're talking all round thing, if West Ham would win that Europa League, then yes.
But if you're talking about specifically Premier League, then no.
Yeah.
It'll most likely be, you know, one of those two. But I look outside, so I look at, you know, all the other managers as well. And him and maybe even like Vieira to a point. But also like Eddie Howe as well. Like in the last, 20 games that they've played, 19. Like, they've absolutely come through with a barnstorming finish. I just cannot wait to see that in their preseason who they are, who they will sign, because it's going to be scary next season too.
The thing is, they could potentially sign. And I think Eddie Howe will make smart signings. Yes, they have the money, but it's not about going spend as much as it as you can and buy.
He's not one of those stupid ones like it goes just buy for the sake of it. He will be smart on the numbers and what a player can deliver in terms of the Premier League. Because a lot of internationals that go to England, they play Premier League and they just absolutely buckle. They can't handle it.
I was going to say, what about Newcastle, you know? At one point, they were fighting to get out of relegation.
That's what we're talking about.
What would you say?
Turnaround.
Yeah, yeah.
Won 9 in the last 14, and I watched that game against Liverpool last night. They gave them a good go. I mean, they lost.
I reckon they could have got a draw out of that.
Yeah, they could have. Oh, no illusions compared to how I saw us the previous game with Liverpool I watched in this entire. It was our show at Anfield, and we were awful. Like, we were terrible.
Yeah, but as like Mark Goldbridge says, statue defending. Like, you got Fred, who's useless.
No, Harry honestly, Fred is actually...
Harry Maguire is absolutely useless.
Yeah, he is. I'm going to defend Fred. I think Fred's actually working in this system.
Well, you think about it, right? When who's the new manager's name? Ten Hag, whatever his name is. Yeah, you watch him like go through the squad and go through like 10, 12 players will be going at least. Pogba will be going. Maguire will be going.
Has Pogba even been in our side for a while?
He played against Liverpool. Remember, he got injured. Don't know how legit the injury was. He got injured after like 10 minutes, came off, and he hasn't played since.
You know why? He's probably like stuffed.
I think he's preparing to go to France.
But obviously there's new developments there. Obviously with Pogba's situation, because obviously Mino Raiola passed away.
I reckon he'll go to PSG.
But remember, he needs a new agent now because Mino Raiola just passed
away. I also heard Ronaldo's going to PSG for 1 year.
Don't buy any shit about that. I think he's actually staying for his second year.
Would it be funny if Ronaldo goes to PSG?
I don't think he will.
If Ronaldo were to leave, he definitely wouldn't go to PSG.
He would go.
He'll probably go back to Juventus. No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't go to Juventus.
He'll go back to Sporting Lisbon.
Yeah, it would be if he leaves this summer, he's going back to Sporting Lisbon. If not, he stays us a second season, then goes back to Sporting after that. I don't think he's going to another big club now, and especially France. I can't see what he's got to gain by going to France.
The only thing that PSG stuffed on in the last couple of years is not winning Champions League. With the squad that they have,
like with Ronaldo, 37 years old now, he doesn't really need to go win League One, does he? It's not really that important.
Nah, and the way that PSG was celebrating it was as if they won the Champions League.
I'm not saying it's not an important league. Obviously, it's still big to win any league. What I'm saying is, for the sake of his
career, I know that, yeah, I get that. But you look at over the years of all the players that PSG have brought over. With their money, with their backing, they should have at least won one or two Champions Leagues. At least. The thing with PSG, if you compare it to, say, like a Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester City situation, is that PSG aren't playing against quality opposition every week. Whereas like Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, like to a point, who then play Champions League, understand what it takes to play against certain styles, certain teams, and that's why England, for me, in the next, like this season and probably the next couple of seasons, it's going to be an England team winning it.
You know what's crazy? We could have Man City versus Liverpool in the Champions League final.
I'd definitely watch it, and Liverpool would win.
What are the chances that English teams collect all three of Europe's prizes this season?
Well, okay. Has that ever been done?
Well, no, because there was never three competitions before this season.
But so
both has been done a few seasons ago. Remember when Liverpool won the Champions League and Chelsea won Europa League?
Yeah. And when Chelsea won the Europa League, simultaneously holding the Champions League at the same time. Never been done before, never to be repeated.
But like Liverpool or City could win the Champions League. West Ham could still win the Europa League. Leicester could win the Conference League.
Oh, no, they won't be beating Roma. There's no way they're beating Roma.
I don't know. Like their Conference League form has been far more impressive than their Premier League form of late.
Yeah, of course. Because if you look at, all right, so get off a little bit, not off topic, but if you look at, say the Asian Champions League,
competition.
Yeah, but like the only teams that I see winning it are the West Asian teams. So for me, it's Al Hilal. Al Hilal will go back to back. I don't see an East Asian team winning it.
I will quickly just deviate onto this before we go back to the Premier League, like about the Asian Champions League. I just don't. It feels like a pre-season tournament. It really
correct. It's because of COVID. That's why.
Every level. But even then, like, Champions League suffered with COVID, but they still get the basics of it more. Like, for example, I'm not talking about filling stadiums out. You can have problems with that. But for example, when the games, watching it on TV, in the Champions League, they're always going to have a commentator and a co-commentator. Why are all the Sydney games... I don't know about the Melbourne City games or any other games. I've only obviously been watching the Sydney games.
Yeah.
They, we just have one commentator, no co-commentator. And it seriously just has this vibe of a shitty preseason tournament most of the time.
Yeah, I can't for that.
It's poorly marketed. I feel they need to either update the marketing of it or think of a new competition. Because
I just think the Asian Champions League right now is not a competition worth watching for, like, unless your team's actually in it. Like, from a neutral's point of view, I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, why should I watch an Indian team? Like, an Indian team's doing better than China. How does that work? Because China's in lockdown. Guangzhou Evergrande have sent their under-20s team to the competition because they're going to keep their main squad there because of COVID. Yeah. Like, the only team that could win it from East Asia is probably Urawa Red Diamonds.
And also, just say, trying to squeeze the group stages into like 2.5 weeks or so hasn't worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the COVID situation. Like 2-3 days apart, and then you squad constantly, and then therefore you're never playing the same starting 11, give one game to the next, and then it kind of ruins all flow there.
But you also got to remember is that the West Asian teams have already finished their group stages.
Yeah.
So the next stages won't be until around about July.
Yeah. Which is because... why we're gone, obviously. Sydney inevitably are out of another group stage. But Melbourne City, I think they still may or may not make it through. And if they do...
It's 50-50. They have to win and then rely on other... Like, if they win, they go through. Simple as that.
Well, they won, didn't they? I think they're just waiting on that last result to be played tonight.
Yeah, they won. So, depending on the result, they should go through.
But so this is the thing, though. But then they're not going to be playing this... knockout. So they've done that, and they've like got the rhythm going, and then now they have to go back to Australia, play two more fucking games in a final series, and then like a month later go back to finish the tournament.
We're already 16, which they can't play in Australia because of COVID.
It's just, I know, I get all that, but it's just been so poorly planned out. Like, they should have just waited for the A-League season to finish and then get it all out of the way in one block.
That would actually make a lot more sense, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's under the AFC rules and the way they conduct them, because they can't just go, oh, well, the Australian League hasn't finished yet. We'll wait for them to play their games. And for them, it doesn't make sense because they have a time that they need to do it, because the final happens in November. So, because we at the AFC... is the last competition to actually have a winner before the December Club World Cup. Every other conference finishes their, like, competition.
I mean, the A-League's been shit this season anyway as well.
MacArthur lost against Newcastle 4-0.
3-0.
Can I just say, what the hell's gone wrong with Sydney FC?
Remember, I think, was it a podcast we did just before the A-League? End of last year, right? Wasn't it like just after Christmas or just before Christmas or whatever it was?
I think it was before Christmas.
We did that podcast where we were doing predictions about where teams are finishing the A-League. Now, you remember, I did predict as good a season, and I said we would be in a battle for the top six, which, as things stand, we still technically currently just about are.
You could still make it. But you have to win one or two games.
No, but this is the thing. Before we have our game against Victory next weekend, that could be ended anyway, because Mariners and Wellington are both playing before
them. Yeah.
And we need them both to drop.
Sorry to stop you.
One of those two need to lose, and then we need to win both.
And just letting you know, guys... the Old Firm derby starts now. If Celtic win, they win the Scottish Premier League title.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Scottish football shit.
Who cares? Postecoglou, you legend.
You've got a Wanderers, and they'll still not make the finals.
Shut up.
Chester.
Did you see who we're bringing? Who our new CEO is?
Who?
So it's going to be a long war.
Was that the thing you messaged me the other day, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, Long Gorman.
Yeah, who the hell? Who is that?
He was our inaugural CEO when we started.
Oh, wait, why'd you get rid of him?
No, he left.
Why? Because he didn't want to do it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Then John Satsimus took over and fucked the club over.
But I think there's comparisons drawn at not in terms of level of club, but like in terms of similar veins. Like Wanderers and United are both in similar veins, similar boats right now. You know, United have a lot of problems with the ownership. Wanderers had a lot of problems with the ownership. It seems they're trying to work on fixing that now. Like with United, obviously, it's not going to be immediate change. It's not like we're going to be next season. We're probably going to have a similar season, but what we're looking for is progress off the field rather than progress on the field first up. And then if the squad morale can kind of improve and players stop downing tools for managers so often, that's what we want to see.
We're with us, right? So next season, Ante Kovic is coming back as a football operations manager. So he's overseeing from youth to first team. And Crook's gone. He's left our club, which I'm happy about. Then we're going to get Oni Bosnar to work with Rudin as recruitment with him. And so apparently there's massive changes happening.
But with all that, do you expect an immediate change, or do you think it's going to be another battle? Look,
I don't expect an immediate straight away, but based off who we're going to be potentially signing, and we've already got one player in mind that we're looking at signing, Oliver Bozanic.
Oh, yeah.
From Mariners. And to me, he's a quality center half than fucking Troisi. Like, that Perth game, he was shit. He had, like, if Troisi plays like 10 games, he'll have two good games. That's his performances.
Yeah.
The only one that actually played all right last night was probably Backus. Apart from that, that was it. So I think what he'll do, he'll bring in smart players. Like, he'll bring in players that will work under like what his vision for Wanderers are. He's so good. Hey, bringing back, I brought back Terry Antetis because he's Western City boy. Oh, Petranos, he's Western City boy. Like, I don't care. Yeah, they're from Western City, but what are they going to do? Do they have the same values as what we have as a club? Clearly not. They were just here on a quick, I'm playing games because I'm not playing games where I am.
I don't know what happened with Antonis. When we had him when he was younger, he was actually like such a good, like.
Yes, and he was at Victory. He was good. So
composed. He had a great shot. And he continued out to Victory. As soon as he's come to you, he's been fucking terrible.
Yeah, but that's like almost every player that's come to us. They're shit. Somehow our club makes them more shitter than what they were. It's like a baby.
United, as I said, draw comparisons here. It's exactly what United do. We make
like Harry Maguire was a ruthless defender, and then he goes to then he goes to like Man United on this like world record signing deal as a defender, and it's like,
I've always said this. Man United have a habit of signing the world class players to their side.
Well, I wouldn't call it world class,
literally, we make every world class footballer play like.
The thing is, we don't. We've had over the last decade, let's say, since Alex Ferguson retired. Progressively, it seems like when we do sign like big name players, we don't sign them for a plan. We just sign them for the attractive. And then also,
exactly.
We basically make it so fucking Hollywood.
Correct.
When we sign a player, a big name player, how many posts do you see flying around going, "Oh, United have signed this. He's come to Manchester. Like Varane has come to Manchester." When Liverpool signed Luis Diaz, there was no hype about it.
Yeah.
And now
even like Thiago Silva, Dalera loves the bloke.
Yeah, like.
like over the years, yeah. Look, we signed Pogba. What the fuck has he done?
I mean, he's been good. That's just his consistency.
But okay, let me say this, right? You guys signed Edinson Cavani. To me, he's a world class striker.
Any
mid table Premier League team, if they had the money, they would be on a winner. But because it's Man United, it's like he probably just went there, like, oh, cool, I achieved something.
To be fair to him, that's different. Like, last season, he scored 17 goals, I think it was, in all competitions. Like, he had a really good season for us last season, considering as well we got him on a free, apart from those astronomical wages that we just have a habit of wanting to give to every player that walks in the club's front doors. But, like, this season, it's just been, you know, with the whole, like, constant, like, at the beginning of the season, there was all those international breaks, and every time he went away with Uruguay, he had to isolate for 1.5 to 2 weeks. So it wouldn't, like, he had such a truncated start to his season with us, which led to him not getting any match sharpness and barely featuring. And then, like, after Solskjaer got sacked, things kind of went from bad to worse with him, and he kind of started, had sort of, like, I guess you'd say, threw in the towel, so to speak, and kind of,
yeah,
that kind of, like, oh, if you're not going to play me, like, Rangnick didn't want to play him or something because he wasn't fully match sharp, and Cavani was like, well, I'm not, like, you don't want to play me, I'm just going to, like, he would train but not play, and it's similar to what happened when he was at PSG, when we took him from PSG, kind of fell out of favour, and he kind of threw a bit of a, and I think that's just kind of his elite mentality kicking in.
Yeah, let me ask you this, like, both of you obviously been Man United, right? Yeah. Like, if you didn't sign Ten Hag as your manager, and you say Postecoglou was signed as manager, what would you think?
Fuck off.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry. And Postecoglou may be a good manager here and there, but, like, he's not ready to take over and...
A hypothetical.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the reason Ten Hag could be a good... I'm not saying anything because it's United, but the reason Ten Hag looks like a very good manager to get and why we all wanted him is because it's not about just, like, his managerial ability and his record, which is impressive, albeit in the Dutch league, he's still very impressive at Ajax, but it's also because he has a style of play that he wants to play. He's going to be very demanding towards the board, and he's going to want to get a lot out of the players, and he's not going to keep helping drive this club forward. I don't think Ange Postecoglou could walk.
Yeah, but do you think Ange
plays at Manchester United and go to the Glazers and tell them, "Give me these players, or else"?
Okay, but wasn't Ange Postecoglou like that with Brisbane and Melbourne Victory?
Yeah, but that's Brisbane and Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, but hang on, it doesn't matter what team it is and what competition. Like, you can still that have that same philosophy in the Premier League with Man United.
Yeah, but I don't think it will work the same way because, you know, at Brisbane and Victory and Celtic and Yokohama and Australia as well, I mean, to be fair, you kind of failed with Australia all up apart from winning that Asian Cup.
No, I disagree.
After he won the Asian Cup, he just completely...
I think Postecoglou is one of our most successful managers that we've ever had.
I mean, yes, because you won something under him. And since... But what I'm saying, though, is, like, regarding the players, obviously, that he had with him at Brisbane and Victory and Yokohama and obviously now at Celtic, you know, not the big-name players we are at United. Like, another...
The manager.
One of the biggest problems of us in recent seasons is these players think they're bigger than the manager. So we need a manager who's going to come in and go, no, shut up, sit down and listen.
So, yeah, but isn't that what Postecoglou would do anyway as well?
Yeah, but then this is the thing, right? These players aren't idiots. Football players aren't idiots. And Postecoglou comes in, tells them to shit down, shut up, and win. Then the player's like, oh, wait, go away. You're like thinking, oh, he pissed me off in training. And then look him up and go, oh, what? He's only won a couple of fucking A leagues and a J league and the Asian Cup with Australia. Like, they'll be like, so what? He can't tell. He doesn't know shit. This is the Premier League. And it's just going to be a similar problem. It's what happened when we had Moyes. He couldn't get hold of a dressing room because the players didn't fully respect his, you know, history of trophies.
But as I said, like, that's just how, like, if you're gonna sign Ten Hag, like, for me, Postecoglou's got probably a similar mindset to him.
Similar mindset, I agree, but I don't think he'd have the influence on the team that Ten Hag will. That's the thing.
Because apparently, like, I don't know if it's true or not, but I was listening, I was watching a quick clip from Goldbridge on TikTok, and I saw apparently players were ringing, speaking to, is it Dalit in your team? Wait, who's in your team from Ajax?
Oh, Van der Beek.
Van der Beek, yeah. They rang him up and said, what's he like as a manager? He goes, bro, he goes, he's the most ruthless manager. It's like a one strikeout policy. If you don't do something in training, you're not playing. Even if it's with one mistake.
Which is what we want. I mean, he was the manager of the Ajax team who beat Real Madrid 4-1 at the Bernabeu in the Champions League and made it to that Champions League semi-final and very, very nearly made the final.
And then we stripped that team apart.
Yeah. I said, the ideologies and the philosophies and the systems and all of that all of that stuff. Yeah, Postecoglou probably has similar views to
but
that.
But is it the little things though? Is it more like smaller detail that you're talking about?
Yeah, it's much more than just the system. Like the system's already a work in progress. The biggest problem we have is not giving a shit when they need to. Like we've watched since this, as I said before. When the international break ended and we came back to Premier League action, we played Leicester, Norwich. Since then, we played Leicester, Everton, Norwich, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, and we still have Brentford, Brighton, Palace as our remaining three games. But in those games since, we weren't actually out of a top four race. If we'd actually put our players and put some effort in, we would have actually been able to keep ourselves in touch with the top four. In fact, not even up to the Arsenal, literally up to the Arsenal game. Had we beaten Arsenal the other week, we still would have been in the top four race. But our players, since the international break, have been playing like the season's over. This is what I'm talking about with smaller details. The players
That's like us against Perth.
Yeah.
Players are going to be over. They already know if they're going to contract up or not. Like, they already know if they're going to get re-signed or not. For me, going to Perth, that was a freaking holiday.
That's exactly what it's been like with United the last month or so.
It's just...
Especially that...
Honestly, Chester.
That Liverpool... I'm going to highlight that Liverpool game. Like, obviously, we got beat 5-0, earlier in the season at Old Trafford. I think this one was worse. Simply because of the fact that in the 5-0, they just completely outplayed us. We couldn't cope with them. They were way too better. They put their game on. They were amazing. We couldn't stop them. That 4-0 defeat at Anfield more recently, Liverpool were in second gear for the entire 90 minutes.
We
made them have a training game. Thiago's amazing performance in their midfield in that game. Anyone can be that good if they're allowed 20 fucking seconds on the ball to look up and play passes. Like, that performance was just so abject and so void of any passion, any drive, and it's not only been that game, it's been the game since against Arsenal. When we got back into the game, we didn't capitalize and we just sat back and let them kind of get more control again and didn't put any oomph in, didn't put any actual effort. Midfield. McTominay needs to be sold in the summer. I'm going to agree, he's not good enough to play in a team that needs to be challenging for the title. He needs to play in a system which is more direct and more suited to his style. He cannot be relied upon midfielder.
Yeah. To be honest. What were you going to say, Daniel?
Yeah, watching that game against Arsenal, United didn't even try.
We did for about 20 minutes in the second half or so. There was a period where we were actually getting on top of them. But it's just the fact that when we pulled it back to 2-1, and then even after Bruno missed that penalty, which Ronaldo should have taken, we had chances. If we'd been a little more incisive and around the box, or a little more direct, a little braver, taking a few more risks, we could have got level and then maybe even snatched a winner. But what happened is as soon as Xhaka took that shot and made it 3-1, there was still 25 minutes left to play. And we didn't even make it difficult for them to hold a 3-1.
So it was like that. It was like us against Wellington Phoenix. We had a penalty and we missed it.
Arsenal went 3-1 up and we didn't even try for the next 25 minutes. So many times in the Premier League, I see teams go 3-1 down and be like, you know what? We're going to try and pull it back to 3-2 and at least make this gritty. Like you did in the derby recently, in the A-League. When we went 3-1 up, that goal back from Tate Russell. And then after that point, you were really pushing us for that equaliser. Where the fuck was that from United against Arsenal when they went 3-1 up? Our intensity dropped the moment they went 3-1 up. And then from that point on, Arsenal had the comfortable, like, real comfortable 20-odd minutes of just passing the ball around our lackluster midfield.
Can you imagine if that was under the Ferguson era? Half of them would be sacked.
No way. Like,
I'm just saying, half of them would be sacked on the spot.
And that was the game, obviously, that, you know, I mean, no, well, Maguire got dropped before that, didn't he? But, like,
so you guys have, like, different teams or what?
In the Arsenal game, McTominay made 7 passes. He's one of our main central midfielders, and he completed 7 fucking passes in 45 minutes. And in the second half against Chelsea, it took him until the 85th minute to complete a fucking pass. Good enough to play for United anymore. Now that we're trying to become on the front foot and we're trying to get more passes strung together, he's not good enough. Like, what I will say is I don't know how the fuck we did not lose that game against Chelsea. Like, watching that, George, you must have been pretty angry the fact that you were that wasteful in front of goal.
But then again, that's kind of like it been our season to a point as well. I mean, obviously, it hasn't been probably the best season under Tuchel, but I think
as I said earlier, you've had
there should be at least 2 or 3 players going, and I can name 2 of the 3 of them on the spot right now.
Like, as I said though earlier, Chelsea have just had a really comfortable season for the most part. They've never been good enough to get into the top 2. They haven't been shit enough to drop out of the top 4. They've just been
we're just happy coming third and then like getting past like out of our group stage of the Champions League. That was it.
Yeah. Chelsea are just settled.
But like to me, Lukaku needs to go. Rudiger will go to Real Madrid.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, he's already going, isn't he? Mason Mount, I think, will go.
Really?
Yeah, I think Mason Mount will go.
Do you want him gone, though? Surely not.
Look, I don't want him gone, but I think he will. Mm. Kovacic, I think we need to keep. But we need to get rid of that freaking Spaniard idiot that we signed in January. I forgot his name. But anyway, he's done, like, fuck all.
Saul.
Yeah, well, he's shit.
United were trying to sign him.
Yeah, well, good. You can take him. And we'll
here's the thing. Yeah. What about Werner?
Oh, look, you know what? Werner's okay, but I still don't warrant him renewing a contract. So he can go back to Germany and be comfortable in the Bundesliga.
Oh, he'll go back to Germany. Nagelsmann will bring him to Bayern and he'll be electric again.
Yeah. Well, and apparently Man City's going to sign Erling Haaland, which is bullshit. Yeah, that's
probably going to happen, maybe.
That'll happen. If Erling Haaland comes to Man City, they'll win it for the next 2-3 years in a row. Easy.
That's not okay.
Oh, like, did you watch the Leeds game of Man City, though?
No, I didn't.
The crowd, they're like,
the 4-1.
If you hate Man, you stand up. If you hate Man, you stand up.
Hey, we're back to what you were saying about Chelsea.
Who do you guys think will win the league? Liverpool or
City? Oh, Liverpool.
You think Liverpool are going to win the league? No way.
Liverpool.
I don't see you. Because, like, City just are good at doing this, winning games at the back end of the season just to secure a title. They've done it before and they're going to do it again, I reckon.
Yeah, Aguero.
Not only that. I'm saying,
yeah, like, I know that.
Yeah.
The next game, City plays
Newcastle.
Newcastle and
yeah, they'll win that.
Play Spurs.
Yeah,
no, both of them will win their games.
They'll probably both win. Yeah,
Spurs are fucking useless.
They're so inconsistent.
They are. Like the way I look at Spurs right now, they're like MacArthur.
I don't know what happened with MacArthur this season.
They're shit. After
the season, they looked like they were going to comfortably finish.
You know what's going to happen now? You know now that Milicic is going overseas to Croatia. You know who they'll sign to be coach? Carl Robertson.
You reckon?
I reckon he'll sign him. Why not? He's the only available manager.
He might take half of the Wanderers teams in MacArthur.
Good. They could fucking take him. I don't give a shit. Like they did with fucking old mate from Crystal Palace. We've done a fuck all with us.
Did you see this game earlier, the Newcastle MacArthur game? Tommy Urich.
Oh, that was just.
Tommy Urich missed four fucking one on ones.
Yeah, because he's shit.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, he won you that Champions
League. Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. He's shit. Even when he was with us, he wasn't the greatest.
Yeah,
you know, like, our worst nightmare will be Chester.
Like, our best striker that we've ever had is Dede Krstić.
No, Oriol Riera.
Riera's been our best number nine ever.
Federico Pio Vaccari. Sorry,
Mike. I've got his jersey at home.
You've got Pio Vaccari's jersey.
Not his jersey, but his name and number.
That might be the worst number nine you've ever had.
Oh, yeah, I'd probably say he's the worst than Krstić.
Like a number nine.
Well, Urich.
Was the best number nine you ever
had. Well, he's
he was pretty average, like.
Yeah. Well, like, Brendan Sandilab holds the record for the most goals scored for our club.
No,
not him. I think it's Bridge.
Who?
Mark Bridge.
Oh, Bridge. Yeah, I think so. Because that one season where he was like scored like double figures or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he scored like
the only striker of yours to score double figures in a season ever.
No, Riera.
Oh, Riera did it. Didn't he?
Riera scored like 13.
Oh.
And that header at SFS against you guys, that was just pure class.
Would you keep Hemed for next season or just move him on?
Oh, no, he's already going. He's already gone. So, like, I already looked at our squad. So, Rod Wall's going to sign a 2-year extension. Mark Bush is going.
Going.
So both of our keepers are going.
Yeah, so you signed Mahas this season. He barely played. He got dropped. Or did he get injured or dropped?
He got dropped.
And then Margouche came back in, and he's so bad.
Yeah, shit. Everyone says he's all right. He's young, but he's made two fuck up errors.
I'll never forget that game you had a few weeks ago when he literally
against Brisbane.
Newcastle. When he
that was bullshit. Goal! Yes, Celtic just scored. Yes.
When he jumped under the ball and Newcastle had the easiest fucking tap in.
The Celtic just scored. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
We're gonna sign. Apparently, we're already signing Lawrence Thomas. Next up, a victory keeper. Then Bezanic, and I'm also hearing a Brazilian from the Chinese Super League.
So probably a shit Brazilian.
But I don't know. See what happens.
I mean, it doesn't matter which keeper you sign. It just seems to be a Wanderers keeper's a shit. It must be your goalkeeping coach.
From what I'm hearing from Rudin and like the staff is that all staff have been relieved of their duties in the football department. Oh, it's basically going to be a full rebuild.
Mm. Wow.
So it's like from everyone in there. The only one that he's going to keep, and I think you should get rid of, is Halidi. He'll keep Halidi. I don't know why.
George, I want to ask you, before the A-League season started, did you think Wanderers were going to have a decent season?
Yes, because on paper we had quality.
I can't remember what your actual prediction
was. I said fifth.
You said fifth, yeah. Okay.
Fifth or fourth.
I think me, Chester, we predicted Sydney would finish at the bottom six.
No, we said Sydney. We said Sydney FC. We predicted Sydney FC. I predicted Sydney FC would be in a battle for six, which technically we still are, as I said earlier. I'll tell you the one I got embarrassingly and horribly wrong, Western United. Do you guys remember I said they're finishing dead last?
Yeah, look at them, they're second.
I was like, they're finishing dead last. Aloisi ain't going to get them anywhere other than 10.
You know what? It's the Aloisi effect. Yeah, but mind you, They've got a fucking Zlatan Ibrahimovic, bloody 7 foot tall striker.
Trivic.
He's good. He's quality.
Who wins?
They could still win the league. It's probably going to be
Wins the A League? Melbourne City.
Yeah, I predicted that. I mean, that was an obvious one. But like
Melbourne City, like it'll be a Melbourne Derby Grand Final.
Nah, Sydney are going to do it.
It'll be Western United. Fuck off. Sydney FC won't even make it. Corrick, apparently, from what I'm hearing, Corrick has got 6 games for next season to turn it around.
I don't think it's fair for him to be put under pressure. Everyone's allowed one bad season. This is the first bad season,
Corrick. No, he's shit. He's not a good manager. Full stop.
We just haven't had good recruitment, really. We've just relied
exactly. On so, welcome to our world. That's what we've had for the last 6 years.
I don't think it's fair to get rid of Corrigan after one bad season.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. Apparently, next season, 6 games, if he doesn't at least win like 80% of them, he's gone. So anything less than 80%, he's going.
Who's Corrigan's replacement, you think, Chester?
Oh, it'll be someone overseas. It won't be Australia.
Well, no, I mean, like I'd like Talley, potentially. Because, you know, they've got
styles. So that's what's going to happen. Talley will go to Sydney, right? Corica will go to Wellington. and then Carl Robinson to MacArthur. You watch it. I
reckon Corica's going to another A-League club.
I reckon he will. You watch it. You watch it. It'll happen.
If this does happen, my God, we're going to repost this
podcast. Well, MacArthur can't even get fans. like this is what I said. MacArthur Bulls shouldn't be in the A-League. Should have never been in the A-League. They can't even get 1,000 supporters to a game.
Yeah.
Basically, like their fan numbers are the same as an NPL team. That is how bad it is.
But that was Western United last season. Like, it just seems
whenever it's still the same.
Whenever as a team, that's a problem with Australia. Whenever a team has a bad season, the fans just stop turning up to all the games.
Correct, like us. We've had it for 6 years. We're happy to get, like, if we get 8,000, we go, oh, that's a good night for us.
I still don't know how Wanderers won the Asia Champions League.
Shut up. We still won it. End of story. We won it. We're the only team to win it, and we'll be the only Australian team to win it.
Wait, hang on. Isn't this 5 seasons in a row now? You haven't made the finals, right?
Six.
Fucking hell.
Yes.
Chester, remember what you told me? It's been a long, long time since two Sydney teams.
Yeah, in the chat the other day. I don't know if you saw this, George, in the chat the other day. Because I just realized this is the first. If we don't make it, obviously, there's a chance, still could, a very small chance. But if we don't make it, this will be the first time ever since Wanderers came into the competition, obviously, that neither of the two Sydney, like those main two Sydney clubs, have made a final series.
Well, that's all right. We can both commiserate together as one and laugh at MacArthur's expense.
MacArthur won't make it either, so it could be a final series that features.
Yeah, so the only New South Wales team that we can share is Central Coast.
Fuck them.
Chester, when was the last time you've seen Sydney FC and Wanderers both make the playoffs?
Oh, wasn't that like...
It happened once, that's it. It's only
our second season.
No, twice. It's happened twice.
Yeah, it was our last final.
In your second season, and then in the most recent one, when you had that Argentinian dude, the number 10. What's his name? Nico Martinez or whatever it was, him.
Oh, I loved him. Nico Martinez was like my absolute favorite. And we had another Brazilian too, Vitor Sava.
Yeah, surely you remember his contribution when he two-footed Antonis in the derby.
Yeah, but what about his display in the Champions League quarterfinal against Guangzhou Evergrande?
I didn't watch that.
Like, we went to China, and they all had like Academy Award winner.
Who scored that was... Celtic.
What?
Who scored? Yeah, who scored
I don't know.
Japanese player.
Some guy. No, Japanese.
Fuck me. Half the team's Japanese since Ange took over.
Yeah. Well, Rogic is on the bench.
I hear they're opening loads of sushi chains in the middle of Glasgow now. since Ange.
But all the players that he's brought over from Japan are ex-Yokohama players that he coached.
Yeah, because they played against us and the last time we were in the
Like the ball one that looks like Shinji Ada, he's like 37.
Yeah, Maeda.
Yeah, but he's quality though.
I want to ask you guys, what's the most memorable football game ever for you?
That we've watched on TV or been to live?
Either one, that you've watched on TV or you've been to live.
Well, we'll do both because they're two different categories, obviously. So let's start with watched on TV. Most memorable game I've watched ever watched on TV. Fuck. So obviously that United Champions League final against Chelsea in 07 in 2008 is a good one. But
everything fails
in comparison to when I watched England go to the play in the Euro final. Like, that has to be it. As an England fan, that has to be it. Like, because I watched United win Trent Premier League on TV and games, win Premier League and win trophies. You know, if I saw it now, it would be different. So, it has to be for me, England playing in that final. Even though we lost, seeing England play in a final of a major international tournament, massive. Mm. What about you, Dan? Watched on TV only, this one is.
Going to a game would have to be Australia winning the Asia Cup.
You went to Brisbane for that?
Huh?
That was in Sydney.
Oh, no, it was in Sydney. Fuck,
that was in Sydney, yeah. To this day, would still be my most memorable
game. I mean, if it's not even watched the game live for me, I mean, I did watch that grand final when we beat Victory on penalties when Ninkovic scored the winner. That was a good game. But then also, I have watched United play at Old Trafford, so...
Yeah, I'm still happy to do that.
That was just a bog standard 3-0 win against Bolton, like middle of the season.
Stock standard. Now these days, it's like, are we actually going to win this game?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say they're in League One, but I wouldn't count on our players beating Bolton. I probably have to choose Old Trafford, even though watching Sydney win the A League was good. Probably just because it's United, and that was Paul Scholes' return when he briefly announced his retirement and then came back in the 11-12 season, and I watched it. So, yeah, it's weird because it's just like a standard league game in the middle of the fucking season. Yeah. Then in the other one's Sydney lifting the grand final.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking just like occasion in terms of what happened and stuff, like, probably Sydney, obviously, because they won a trophy.
Yeah.
And I was at in that same season, I was at the 2-0 win at home against Newcastle when we lifted the Premier's plate. Oh, the old days of Graham Arnold. Come back. back. If Corica goes, let's get Graham Arnold back. but I probably just have to pick United because Old Trafford is incredible.
Mm.
A full house Old Trafford. Back when we were actually good as well. Like, what about you, George?
Okay, so going to a game live, I'd say the 5-4 comeback against Brisbane Roar.
Not actually any game where you won the Premier's fight.
That was at Newcastle. It's different. We knew we were going to win that game. But I'm talking about something you'd go for me, that actually went that 5-4 comeback against Brisbane Roar. Going down 3-0 in the space of 20 minutes. And then Castellan free kick 3-1. Castellan with another goal. And then I think someone else scored. I don't know who scored. I don't know. I can't remember. But then Vidicic with the winner in extra time. But another game that went to live as well, Champions League quarter final, round of 16 against San Fretche. We were 3-1 down. We had to score two goals. We scored basically the winner with about 10 minutes to go. I've never experienced anything like that, honestly.
You've actually been, I'm thinking that 5-4 simply because how crazy it must be to be at the stadium when that shit happened.
Oh, bro, honestly,
to this day remember watching that game on TV. That was a crazy.
Like, that's when McLaren was with Brisbane too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but in terms of watching TV, second leg Champions League final.
Hang on. Not Greece winning the Euros.
But...
Well, I imagine you watched that live.
I was 2004, so I was like 16 at the time, 15. So yeah. I remember watching the game and I'm like, Mum, Dad, we need to go to Brighton. Fucking celebrate with the cousins. Right. It was like, and then it's so funny, 2 weeks later we played a friendly against like Georgia, we lost. I think we played against like Georgia, we lost like 2-0.
Well, were there other Greek kids in your school, like in your classes back then in school? Like,
oh, there was a few. There wasn't a lot. It was a few. But it was during school holidays, so we completely missed it. Like being around together and all that.
So you didn't come back in first day of school when it resumed after holidays waving Greek flags around?
Oh, I would have been 100%. Like, I don't care if the school said to me, take off your Greek flag, I'll be like, fuck off, bitch. Nah, but like, okay, so yeah, but like that, obviously being in Portugal, like, to me, and then obviously the second leg Champions League final. Like, I remember waking up, not at the start, but at halftime, and my mum going, oh, it's nil all. And I'm like, what? Nil all over there? I'm like, how could this be? We should be getting raped like 6-0, easy. Next minute, I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, and then that Kovic save. To me, that'll go down as the best save by an Australian keeper in a continental tournament. Like, that is hands down the greatest save of all time.
Yeah. I remember waking up that morning and seeing Parramatta packed with Wanderers fans and players going everywhere.
Can I tell you something funny, Chester, too?
What?
That day, I was going out to lunch with my uncle and auntie down at Breakfast Point area. And I was wearing my Wanderers polo top or whatever. Then I see Vedra Djenevic pull up near us where we were, picking up, I think, Matt Yerman or someone else. I think it was Matt Yerman when he was with you guys.
Yeah, when they both came across, yeah.
Yeah. And I went up to Vedran and I'm like, I pointed out my crest. He's like, yeah, you fluked it with that Japanese ref. I'm like, bitch, please. You would never win this, so shut up.
And he just drove off. There's no way you said that again. Yes, bitch.
I said that, bitch, please. No, I said, I don't care what you think. Okay, I said, tell me that you guys won't do.
Must have been awkward meetings when you met him after he joined the club in any of the fan days. You probably must have met him, man.
Then I said to him, because you guys were chucking snakes at him at one of the derbies.
I don't remember that. Dan, do you remember that?
It was a away game for us when he signed. All the Cove was chucking out, you know, the Allen's lolly snakes?
Oh, yeah.
Chucking snakes.
I remember that.
Nobody hated it, right? At full time, because I think we won that game. Then I said to him, I'm sorry about a game afterwards, and I said, are you going to get a sponsorship with Allen's Ollies? He goes, oh, I should, shouldn't I? I'm like, yeah. But he's coming off contract at the end of this year, which is good. He's still signed with us to the end of this season.
No, well.
Which is...
Yes, he is.
I'll play him. Thank
That's shocking.
Play him against MacArthur. I beg you.
You know what's so funny? For the last 3 years or 4 years, when you ring up the club, it was, hi, Vedran Djenevic for the Western Sydney Wanderers.
Phones for the club?
No, it's a voice thing, like a pre-recorded message. When you ring up, it goes, hi, Vedran Djenevic for the Western Sydney Wanderers. Well, apparently now, like last week, apparently they've removed it now.
Oh. I'd like to play him against MacArthur. It should be a laugh.
What?
Play him against MacArthur.
Right, he's doing painting now. He does painting, like indoor painting.
He does that for a living now, does he? So he's out of football.
Like his shoulder's fucked. He can't play ever again.
Oh. Okay.
Because the surgery that he did didn't work, obviously. Like, he was a good goalkeeper. Don't get me wrong.
He wasn't. He was good for about a season with us, and that's about it.
Yeah, for that season, he was good. Yeah.
One of our best goalkeepers we ever had, apart from Kovic, was Lopar.
Yeah, and even he was dodgy.
And then he kept. You know when COVID happened, he was like, I want you to pay me full of what my contract is. The club's like, we can't afford it. She's like, I'm going to go back to Switzerland.
Wow. I mean, I'll never forget when Jan Mijatovic did this fucking step over to give away Bruce a corner in the last.
Oh, right. Honestly, there was like that. Yeah, but hang on. That wasn't as bad as what Magush did. Fucking miscontrols it and does a rugby tackle on all mate.
Here's another question then.
Oh, here we go. In
terms of games we've watched live or on TV, maybe for me, because I haven't seen as many games live, but moment you've witnessed happen with your team when you've watched them live?
Oh, 3-0 against Brisbane this season.
Really?
Yes.
This season?
That bad?
Yes, because, like, literally, you could not get any worse than what we have been in the last 6-7 years of that club.
That's the worst game you've seen live.
Yes. Yes.
Not the 1-1 with Perth literally yesterday.
No. I
mean, Perth, doesn't it?
No. Because at least we scored.
Like, no, it was in Perth, wasn't it? My bad.
No, we drew against Perth 1-1. But,
yeah, no, but it was in Perth, wasn't it?
Yeah, in Perth. But okay. So apart from that Brisbane game, probably the other worst one that I've probably seen live was 6-0 against fucking Shanghai SIPG.
Wait, what the fuck?
We won that game, actually. No, we played against Shanghai SIPG. We won 3-0 at Campbelltown.
Doesn't sound like shit.
Nah, but hang on. They brought it in like their third string team. Elkerson didn't even play.
All right, Dan, what about you? The worst game you've seen Sydney play? Or Australia? Game.
We've had a lot of bad games this season.
Yeah, but I mean, like, prior
overall, like in the history.
When we lost to probably Melbourne in victory a few years back in the grand final.
Wait, you weren't at that game. I was in Melbourne, or were you?
Huh.
That grand final was in Melbourne.
Oh, that I've been to live, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you said live. Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't there. That was in Brisbane.
Oh, no, yeah, I said live.
Live? Okay. Oh. I don't know. Every fucking game this season that I've been to live at home.
That's a good answer, actually.
Yeah. Anyone in particular stand out?
Yeah, against Brisbane Roar and Mariners, you go fucking 3-1 up or 3-0 and you lose. Well, we're 2-0 up against Brisbane. We fucking drew 2-2.
Wait, were you at that Mariners game the other week when you had...
Yeah, and I was at the Mariners game at home. We were winning fucking whatever it was.
Don't you keep up with the RBB, Chester, TV?
They used to watch my RB TV post game.
I do.
Love them, yeah. I do. I love those interviews.
Which one is your favorite so far?
I mean, I can't remember what game it was at, but like, there's so many good ones. Like with all when you're watching like rival, when it's like for a rival club of yours, and it's funny when they're shit. Like, so obviously it wouldn't have been one where you won. Like, it would definitely be one of the ones you lost and embarrassingly lost or something. Like. Especially, like, I love the ones where you just constantly just berate the players' performances and in particular go after.
Right, Daniel, are you on YouTube now?
No.
I'm going to say go on YouTube and look up some of my best work.
Actually, my favourite one, George, this season was probably when you won against us, your post-interview.
Shirt off. How's that your favourite? They beat us.
I know, no, but like watching... how George celebrated was funny. Like, he took his shirt off, everyone would just gather around and they're all going...
No, I know my favorite. I can't remember what game it was. You might remember, George. It was towards the back end of last season. I'm pretty sure you lost. I'm pretty sure you lost. And like the whole in, I seem to remember you were just constantly going on and on and on at Christian Ziegler.
Who?
That German defender you had.
Patrick Ziegler. Ziegler. Oh, yeah. Well, he did that. He came off the bench. Literally 2 minutes later, he 6 days later gives a fucking penalty. And he's fucking doing like little dancing on the fucking bloody penalty box.
That was one. Because that entire post-match interview, I remember the dude.
That was one of my first ones I did.
Like, I remember the guy who interviews me. I don't know his name, but that guy.
Banana. Or his nickname's Banana.
All right. Banana.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a really good interview. I like his way he interviews, but I seem to just remember that it was like that game. He was like that interview was trying to get you to focus on the game, and your interview was majorly you just saying how shit Ziegler was in that moment. And just like how he never left his legs shut, and just,
it seems he's not as bad as open as a prostitute on a Friday night.
It was more the fact that it was a post match interview, and he's trying to say stuff. I seem to remember he's like, "Yeah, but what about the game? What about the game?" You're like, "Ziegler's shit. Fucking bring him off, and he gives away a penalty. Shit." I mean, to be fair, that has happened a lot. If you look at his interviews, Dan, like when Wanderers have lost. The guy who's interviewing him will always be like, "Yeah, but what about calm down? What about the rest of the game?"
George, I'm noticing in every post interview, you always focus on one particular player and you just bag the shit out of him.
But okay.
Did you see my other interview when I bagged out Dibby Petranos and bloody Terry Antonis?
Oh, I like that one. The one about Dibby Petranos and his car.
Oh, yeah.
But because I know what car he drives. He drives a Mercedes Benz.
No, but it's just the way you're talking about it. It's brilliant.
Sticking bloody Mercedes Benz up your ass.
Yeah, sticking Mercedes Benz up your ass. On his Insta or something.
Yeah, but I don't say it for no reason because some of these players that we've had in the past have not been up to what we've had in the past. Shannon Cole wants nothing to do with the Wanderers. Brendan Sadelab wants nothing to do with the Wanderers. Half the team that basically won the Champions League want nothing to do with the club because of the way they've been treated by management.
That says a lot, doesn't it? About where
your club Jota scored for Celtic.
Was it 2-0?
No, it's 1-0.
What was I saying? I'm just thinking like last season as well. There were some great ones last season.
I'll try and look up someone that you can look at again.
Yeah, they were all the ones with Dylan McGowan as well. Those were some great.
Was it Ryan McGowan?
Huh?
Did we have Ryan McGowan or Dylan?
We had Ryan McGowan and
we had Dylan. Yeah,
and I wish we had
him. It was like a bunch of cows that took a dump in a field and left that on the field. We got tactically outmasterminded by Steve Bloody Bruce. It's like losing a game of hide and seek to Stevie Wonder.
Would you take Steve Bruce?
But you know what? The new manager of MacArthur, because there's a Crystal Palace connection, Pardew.
Hey guys, I think I'm going to have to wrap it up now. I think...
Getting a bit carried away.
We got carried away.
As per usual.
Like, thanks, Dad.
We do.
It's been fun, guys. I loved it. George, any final words?
Love you all. And, subscribe. Subscribe IBTV. You'll be catching me every week at home games.
Yeah, follow George on his post.
Bro, honestly, you should start vlogging him.
You should vlog games.
Yeah, you should vlog your games.
Yeah.
No, because every single word would be like, "This fucking team."
That's the whole point.
You're needing your own sensor.
Yeah, true. I don't know. I have to see.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway.
Thanks guys for coming on. And it's always been a pleasure. And thank you guys for tuning in. If you've listened to this whole entire podcast, you deserve a medal.
An hour and 12 minutes.
Yeah.
If you listen to this whole entire podcast, you deserve to win the manager of the season in the Premier League.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.